Ebenezer family and friends. It's just so good to be back with you. I just want to thank the Lord for giving us this virtual platform that we can connect with one another, that we can stay encouraged. Thank you for staying connected to ebcnc.com. Got so many things there to really build us up, that we can stay strong in this period of time, this season that we're going through. Thank you for your giving, whatever form that you're doing that. Maybe you're in our in-person services at 8:45 and 10:45. Maybe you're sending it in via our app and you're using that, or you're sending it in our secure mailbox. However you're doing that, thank you. But giving goes way beyond that. Giving is reaching out, loving on one another, texting, calling, encouraging. Thank you for all that you do. We have really been blessed at Ebenezer and what the Lord has done for us. And I know it's because of the prayers of the saints. It says the prayers of the righteous availeth much. Well, I'm just thinking about the message of the day. You ever felt like this? Yeah. Some of you are like, I feel like that right now. Well, stay tuned, because we're going to talk about some things that can come against the child of God, the Christians, that sometimes we can find ourselves in some dark, dark places. But thank God for his grace and mercy. You can put it in the chat, grace and mercy. Well, let's prepare our hearts as we get ready to get into God's word and really see ourselves and know that God is everything. See you soon.
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ was born. While shepherds kept their watching o'er silent flocks by night, behold, throughout the heavens there shone a holy go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ was born. The shepherds feared and trembled when low above the earth rang out the angel's chorus that held our Savior's birth. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ was born. Down in a lonely manger, the humble Christ was born, and God sent us salvation that blessed Christmas morn. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ was born. Oh, go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ was born. Oh, go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ was born.
It's so good to be connected with Christ, to be saved, delivered, and set free. As we get into our series again on distractions and fears, I'm telling you, they have been coming at us all. The enemy has been trying to do all he can to trip us up. But I pray that you have really got that memory scripture, 2 Timothy 1:7, in your heart. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Any amens out there? We have a sound mind. And with God and His Holy Spirit on the inside of us, all things are possible. Before we go any further, let's go in a word of prayer. Father, I just thank you so much for you being God and God alone. Thank you for this day that you have made, Lord, and the fact that we can rejoice and be glad in it. Now, Lord, I lift up those who are listening, who are viewing, that may not be saved, Lord. Would you help today be their day, that they'll confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you raised them from the dead and you said they would be saved. Let them experience that grace through faith that's not of themselves, that gift from you, Father God. Lord, thank you so much for all that you're doing and using technology to reach out and to really change lives and save souls. I lift up the saints, Lord, that we be strong in you, that we follow your will and your will alone. Now, Lord, I ask you to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Holy Spirit, I welcome you. You are our teacher and our guide. Would you lead us into all truth? Please make this word so plain, so easy to be understood, that even a small child can be transformed to be like you. Lord, we just give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You just say amen. God is so, so good. Today's scripture comes from Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. And I want us to focus in on that 55th verse. So Luke 22 and 55. It reads, "Now when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat amongst them." At Luke 22:55 again. "Now when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them." I want to speak from a title today, pressure. Yes, pressure. Some of you know about pressure. I want to really focus in on the definition that I'll be using today. I'll be honest with you, this was a challenging portion of scripture because I began to see some things that I hadn't seen per se, and I realized the pressures that the characters are going to be dealing with, even Christ, the pressure. The definition that we'll be using today is the use of persuasion, influence, or intimidation to make someone do something. I want to read that again. The use of persuasion, influence, or intimidation to make someone do something. I personally believe this is one of the major tools that the enemy uses against the children of God, that he uses against us. This pressure trying to get us to change our mindset, change our thoughts, to literally go away from the will of God and to follow the ways of the enemy. Time frame today is 33 AD, and I just want to kind of build up to get us to where we are today in the scriptures. Jesus has went into this monumental ministry. He's been healing the sick, and he's been raising the dead, and disciples have been right there in the midst. Now, as they've been going through this ministry, this 3 years, they have felt pressure. The disciples have felt pressure. But Jesus has always been there with them, like that parent that wants to make sure that their child doesn't have to go through much pain. I know raising kids with my wife, we always try to take the pressure off our kids. We would tell them sometimes when they were out with their friends, if they ever felt pressured by their friends to do something, they could always use us as an excuse and say, "You know what, I need to go home because my parents need me." That whole process, trying to relieve the pressure. This is the Christ, even with the disciples. He lets them have somewhat of pressure, but every pressure point was a teaching point. Let me explain. Remember when they were on the ship and the storm rose, Jesus was asleep, and disciples were experiencing that pressure. They wake Christ up, and he speaks to the storm, "Peace be still." Now the pressure is relieved. everything they went through, they always had the ability to fall back on Christ. I remember when they didn't have any food to feed the 4,000 and the 5,000, and Jesus even challenged them. They always had the ability to fall back on Christ because Christ multiplied the bread and the fish. All of these things coming against them. There was even one time, and a specific person that we're going to talk about today, Peter, he was asked, does your master, does the teacher pay taxes? And Peter just kind of flew off. Yeah, we pay taxes. He pays taxes. And then he goes back to Jesus like, do we pay taxes? And Jesus, you know, challenged him with even the thought of whose picture is on the coin. He says, but nevertheless, unless we offend them, he says, go to the sea, get the fish and just pull it out. And the tax money will be on the inside of the fish. And so the pressure was there even for Peter at that point. But again, Christ, that good parent there to relieve that pressure. But today there's a transition point. The disciples come into Jerusalem and it is a triumphant entrance. People are celebrating. They're throwing down palm branches. Man, this is the Messiah, King of Kings. It seems like the whole city is going after him. The Pharisees and Sadducees are upset and they realize we have to do something. Jesus goes into teaching. He's warning his disciples over and over again. My time is getting short. I'm going to have to die for you. But they discount that. They cannot believe that their fortune can actually turn so quickly to ruin in a sense. But that fateful day comes and the Christ is in the Garden of Gethsemane with his disciples. Judas Iscariot comes in. He's betrayed. The soldiers take Christ. And from that point, everything goes crazy. Peter tries to protect the Christ and cuts off Malchus' ear. And Jesus picks up the ear, puts it back on Malchus' head. Peter is confused. The disciples run. Peter runs. Jesus is dragged away. Hence, we pick up Luke 22:54. I'm talking about pressure. Having arrested him, they led him, Jesus, and brought him into the high priest's house. But Peter followed at a distance. Here's our first point, following at a distance. Yes, following at a distance. When the disciples ran, they ran in all different directions, but Peter kind of circled back around. Remember, he had tried to protect Christ. He's confused at this point. He was one of the ones that said, you know, Lord, if something goes down, I'll never leave you. And so now he's given his word and Christ has already spoken to him, but he's circled back around and he's following at a distance. This is a concern, even as I think about the Christians of the day and think about our growth in the Lord. Could we be in the same place at following Christ from a distance? Yeah, we can see him. He's out front, but we don't want to get too close because to be close to him may mean there may be problems for ourselves. Jesus taught earlier in Luke 9:23, then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. Listen to this daily. You can put in the chat daily and follow me. Luke 9:24, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake, notice this, will save it. We're talking about pressure. How many of us have found ourselves in this same situation, looking at Christ from afar, but not willing to get close? Scott Sauls, in his book, Irresistible Faith, Becoming the Kind of Christian the World Can't Resist, he wrote this wonderful statement. He says, it is our inclination to replace Jesus' call to deny ourselves, to take up our crosses and follow him. We replace his call with a self-serving path in which we deny our neighbors, take up our comforts, and follow our dreams. Isn't that heavy? I want to read that last part again. We replace his call with a self-serving path in which we deny our neighbors, take up our comforts, and follow our dreams. Isn't that what's being taught, even in our college settings for the most part? Even we have presented that to our children. We have taken it up. We're going to follow our dreams. This is our desires and this is our wants. But could we be succumbing to the pressures of the world, the pressures of the enemy coming against us to get us to a point of changing our mindset to think that really it's more about us than it is about Christ? I'm talking about pressure. Look at this saga as it continues on in Luke 22:55. It says, "Now when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them." Here's another point. Sitting with the enemy. Yes, sitting with the enemy. Now, I want you to get this picture as Peter, really, he's trying to go undercover. And he's trying to figure out what's going on because he's never been in a situation before. Jesus has always been able to get out of things. He's always been able to win the conversations. He's always been able to divert. Even when they had grabbed him one time and they were getting ready to take Jesus to the hill and throw him off to kill him, Jesus was able to disseminate amongst the crowd. He says, "My time is not yet." But now Jesus has been arrested. He had soldiers around, and Peter is thinking, "Man, if I get too close, I'm going to follow at a distance. This pressure is on me. Maybe I'll be with Christ." And in essence, he's saying, I'm just not ready for that type of ridicule. But Romans 12:2 tells us something about our attitudes when it comes to pressures and following Christ. It says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Yes, when pressures come our way, we are supposed to be changed to more of God's likeness. And sometimes God does allow pressures to come our way. That's why we get gold, and that's why we get diamonds, because of pressure. But notice here, the pressure is coming upon Peter, and he finds himself in a state of not knowing which way to go. 1 John 2:15 lets us know our choices when pressures come. It says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Peter really is pulling more to the world than Christ. He doesn't want to lose his life. And so he's thinking, okay, I want to be with the enemy. I want to sit amongst the enemy. 1 John 2:16, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." That 17 verse, "And the world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever." I'm talking about pressure. Peter right now is feeling those pressures. Do I follow Christ or do I follow the world? Saints of God, it is coming amongst us. We have so many things of the world, so many desires of the world, and the enemy brings those distractions and fears through that. But we have to step up and make a decision. Pressure. Look at Luke 22:56. "And a certain servant girl, seeing him as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him and said, 'This man also was with him.'" This is heavy. This is a point I really want you to get. We look different. Yes, we look different. Now, Peter is sitting with the enemy. The pressure is on him. He is trying to assimilate with the enemy. And as he's sitting there, the problem is he stuck out. He didn't look like them. Other scriptures let us know that his speech, his vernacular, actually betrayed him. But I'm telling you, any time that you have been with Christ, there is going to be a change. Whether you like it or not, there ought to be some hallelujahs out there. If you come in contact with Christ and you are saved and delivered, I don't care how much you try to do what the world does, you will stand out because a change has come over us. Notice closely that 22:56 again, a certain servant girl, seeing him, look at that, seeing him as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him and said, "This man was also with him." Yes, she had to look a little bit because he had tried to fit in, and she stared at him. Yes, stared at. You ever been stared at? But when you found yourself in a situation, a place that you shouldn't have been in, I'm telling you, sometimes God will allow those places to come, and all of a sudden we will sense the pressure, the enemy trying to get us, to pull us away from God. And this is where Peter is at this point. I can see as he's kind of shying away. He's looking the other direction, but she's looking at him. He said, you're one of them. You were with him. I know it's you. But the sad thing is, I look at our lives, is that could it be that some of us don't stick out? Yeah, just some of us don't are not discerned to be different, because we are just like the world. Yes, we should shine. We should be the light. But could it have been to a point within our lives that we have taken on so much world, that we have built on so much things of the enemy, that we actually look just like the world? We're doing what the world does, and we're looking at what the world looks at. We're touched by the same things the world is touched at. The things of the spirit don't move us. We don't cry when we see the gross immorality that's occurring within our nation. We're not concerned with the path that we're going down, because we have become so much like the world, we don't even stick out. Saints of God, there must be a change. Could the scripture apply to us in our lives? Of 1 John 2:19, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. I'm telling you, there are a lot of people say that they are Christian. There are a lot of people that go to church. There are a lot of people can quote scripture, but I'm telling you, everyone is not saved. And just because you can dress up and look like a Christian, just so you can think that you are a Christian, does not make you a Christian. Please understand, you have to be changed from the inside out. And here at this point, so many are pretending, but they do not know the Christ. Peter here, he sticks out because he had been with Jesus. He experienced the power of Christ, but yet he had chose to sit in the enemy's camp. I'm talking about pressure. Pressure will lead us to do some crazy things. Any amens out there? Pressure put on you, if you don't depend on God, you'll find yourself in situations that you said, I'll never be in, because the pressure, the enemy knows how to bring pressure amongst us. Look at Luke 22:57. But Peter denied Jesus, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." And after a little while, another saw him and said, "You also are of them." But Peter said, "Man, I am not." That's some kind of pressure, ain't it? Here's another point. Misrepresenting Christ. Yes, misrepresenting Christ. When is the last time you denied Christ? I know you're like, Pastor, not me. I'm a Christian. I love the Lord. And we're just looking at Peter here. Don't be trying to put the light on me. But all of us have denied Christ in some way, shape, or form. Prayerfully, it hasn't been recently. But could we have denied him by our talk? By the places that we found ourselves in? Could we have denied him by just our devotion to him, that we're not reading the Bible as much as we should be? We're not praying as much as we should be. We're putting the world and the things of the world before God. Now this is so important, because Jesus spoke these faithful words in Matthew 10:32. It says, "Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I also will also confess before my Father who is in heaven." Listen to this. "But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven." Yes, we've got to realize that there are huge stakes here, that we've got to understand that the enemy desires to get us off the track, as said before, but Christ wants us to step up. Christ wants us to be more like him, but we've got to pick up our cross, remember, daily, and follow him. But let us not forget, even though Christ knew Peter would deny him, there was a prayer, even at this time, that was working on Peter's behalf. Yeah, Christ already knew that. He knew that
that Peter was going to be in this situation. He had sent up a prayer earlier in this chapter, So just a few hours before this occurs, there was a conversation that Jesus had with Peter, Luke 22:31. And the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail." I want to say that again, 32, "but I have prayed," somebody say prayed, he prayed for us, "prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." I'm talking about pressure. Aren't you glad for God's goodness that even when we're going through, oh, he is seated on the right hand of the Father interceding for us. Thank God for moving through parents that prayed for us. Thank God for moving through grandmas that prayed for us and uncles that prayed for us and aunties that prayed for us when we were going in under the pressure and we almost lost it. We almost went down that path to never return. Aren't you glad for people who pray? Peter has been prayed for by the Christ. He's like, "You're going to go through. You're going to go through. But please understand, I've prayed for you." Pressure. Look at Luke 22:59. "Then after about an hour had passed, another confidently affirmed, saying, 'Surely this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean.'" 60th verse. "But Peter said, 'Man, I do not know what you are saying.' Immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed." Here's another point. What choice will you make? Yes, what choice will you make? Now I know, we're thinking, we're processing here. We're like, yeah, I'm going to make the right choice. I'm going to make the choice for Christ. But when pressure comes on us, and there ought to be some shouts of, "Lord, help me." Because when pressure comes on, many of us have made the wrong decision. We have made the wrong choice when pressure came. We were okay when the pressure wasn't on us. But when we were put in a situation and people were looking at us and we had to speak up for Christ or speak up for the world, many of us chose the world. I pray that we will be like Joshua 24:15. "And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." That's my prayer. I pray that when the pressure comes, that we'll say, "We will serve the Lord. My house will serve the Lord. I'm going to walk in God." But Peter here had so many opportunities to pick up his cross and follow Christ. The scriptures say that about an hour had passed at this point, and he had to process all of these things. He had to think about, I can stand up for Christ, but yet the enemy kept punching at him. The Gospel of Mark actually gives us more insight on Peter's mindset and how he had succumbed to the pressures of the enemy. Mark 14:70. "But he denied it again. And a little later, those who stood by said to Peter again, 'Surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean, and your speech shows it.'" Mark 14:71. "Then he began to curse and swear, 'I do not know this man of whom you speak.'" I'm talking about pressure. Pressure. Man, if you get away from Christ and you don't depend on the power of the Holy Spirit, you'll find yourself doing some stuff. No, notice Peter here, the man that walked with Jesus, the man who walked on water, the man who stood up and said, "I'll never leave you." He is actually cursing and swearing. And he said, "I don't even know the man." Saints of God, we need to look at ourselves, how we're living, how we're portraying ourselves as we walk this life. Could we be denied Christ? Could we find ourselves in cursing situations and swearing situations where we're saying by our living, "We don't know the man"? I'm talking about pressures. Saints of God, as I look at our society here in the United States, especially, I'm seeing folks that call themselves Christians, but when the pressure is putting on, they're looking just like the world. They're making the same decisions the world would make. They say that they're Christians, but when it comes to forgiving, they're walking in hate and they have turned away from God. We have to decide that we're going to live for God no matter what. Pressures. But thank God for grace. Somebody say grace, grace, grace. You can put it in chat. Grace. Thank God for grace. Because if it had not been for God's grace, all of us would be dead right now. All of us, because we have all sinned and fallen short of the kingdom of God. But thank God for grace. There ought to be some shouts of praise. There ought to be some clap saying, God, I thank you for your grace and your mercy. Even when I failed under pressure, I'm talking about pressure. Look at Luke 22:61. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Yes. Here's a point. Conviction. Yes. Conviction. All of this, begins to roll. And within this scripture, as he curses and he swears and he denies Christ, all of a sudden God has orchestrated that Jesus is able to see Peter. They're able to catch eye contact. You ever been in that situation? Some of you have. You've been looking at someone and they turned around and looked at you, and all of a sudden you shy away because you didn't want them to know that you were looking at them, but they wanted you to know that they saw you. This is the whole process, that uncomfortable connection that Christ looks at Peter, conviction. Peter is found guilty. Yes, he is found guilty. He has denied Christ not just one time, not just two times, but three times. Jesus had taught earlier in John 16:8 about this conviction, and when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment of sin, because they do not believe in me. It all comes back to Peter's mind now. It all comes back. Now he realizes, I have failed Christ. I said I'd walk with him. I said I wouldn't run. I said I wouldn't deny him. But now I find myself cowering from this situation. I find myself swearing. I find myself cursing. I find myself lost. I'm talking pressure. Saints of God, I want to be you to be encouraged today to know that God is there for you to pull you up out of that situation. But I want to speak to the unsaved right now. Maybe you have been awakened by listening to this message, and you said, Pastor, that's me. I'm cursing and I'm swearing. I'm in a life of darkness. I'm sleeping around. I'm making dumb decisions, and it seems like I'm getting deeper and deeper into the enemy's camp, sitting with the enemy, acting like the enemy. But I don't want to be here. I'm telling you, cry out to Jesus. Yes, under the pressures, cry out. And I guarantee you, he will come in the nick of the time. The words that he had spoken to Christ, and Christ had spoken to Peter, they come back to them. They hit him on his mind in a strong way. Look at Luke 22:33. But he said to him, Lord, I'm ready to go with you both to prison and to death. Peter had said these things, but now the pressure, all the things come back to him. Luke 22:34. Then he said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny three times that you know me. Yes, yes, at that point of that conversation, Peter had just kind of pushed it. He thought he would never be at this point. He thought he would never find himself at this low of the low. And some of us can realize we have done some things, and we've gone some places, and we've dealt with some situations that we thought we'd never be in. But without Christ, I'm telling you, without depending on, we can go to any depths of sin. The sin nature is on the inside of us, but I am so glad for Jesus. I am so glad for his saving grace and his mercy. This same Peter that was the leader of the disciples, and that was on the Mount of Transfiguration and saw Jesus transformed to the whiteness like he had never seen before, saw Moses and Elijah show up, saw all of things occur, yet he denies Christ three times. I'm talking about pressure. Saints of God, we cannot take for granted our lives, because the enemy is hitting us left and right over and over. Oh, that we be convicted today to change our ways and to love the Lord with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. Thank God for him being born, but I thank God for the Jesus that grew up and taught strongly to us that man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. As we're going under these pressures, don't forget 1 John John 1 and 9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Oh, that we cry out to God and confess our sins under the conviction of the Holy Spirit and say, God, we need more of you. I'm talking about pressure. Notice this last verse of this section, Luke 22:62. So Peter went out and wept bitterly. Yes. So Peter went out and wept bitterly. It is our final point. We'll pull this all together. Listen to this. Own your mistake. Yes. Own your mistake. He got the picture. After the eye contact has been made, it all comes back on him. He's like, I've been with the enemy. I denied my Christ. I denied the Messiah 3 times. It comes back. And the conversation with Jesus, everything comes back. And now he just breaks down. Yes, he goes and he weeps bitterly. Saints of God, this is what we need. This is what we need to be convicted of our sins, to realize our sins, and to cry out to God and allow those tears to literally begin to wash away the sins. And then the blood of Christ comes. It says, what can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. But those tears of recognizing that we have made mistakes, that we have not been all of that. The 2 Corinthians 7:10, it actually outlines what can happen when we recognize our sins, when we allow the weeping to take place and we're really convicted. 2 Corinthians 7:10 says, for godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. For observe this very thing, that you sorrowed in a godly manner, what diligence it produced in you, what clearing of yourselves, what indignation, that fear, what vehement desire, what zeal, what vindication. In all things you proved yourself to be clear in this matter. I'm so glad that God can use our tears. God can use the pressures that the enemy brings amongst us to actually change us from the inside out, that we can start to realize that it's not about us, but it's always been about him. Well, as we pull this together, I am so glad for a Savior that showed us how to deal under pressure. I am so glad for a Savior that even as he's going through, gives us an example. Let me circle back around to the Garden of Gethsemane. Remember, there pressure was on him to actually go a different way of the Father, not to do the Father's will. But Luke 22:44 says, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. But I'm so glad that the Christ did not give up. Any amens out there? But he says, Father, not my will, but let thy will be done. You know what? Even after he makes the eye contact with Peter, you know, he is beaten all night long. They spit on him. You know what? They put a crossbar on his back. But I am so glad that Jesus carries that cross, and I am so glad that he allows them to put nails in his hands and nails in his feet. And on that cross of Calvary, he carries our sins and bears our griefs and carries our pressure on there. He dies on the cross of Calvary. They put him in a cold tomb, but there ought to be some shouts of praise that 3 days later he gets up with all power and all glory, kind of like that pressure release. Yes, the disciples thought that, you know what, he never rise again, even though he said, I'm going to rise 3 days. Many of them had lost faith, but I'm so glad early Sunday morning he comes out of that grave. That stone is rolled back and the Messiah comes with power and glory so that we can depend on him now that he's seated on the right hand of the Father praying for us, that even though the pressures are coming, even though the pressures are building, I want you to take a praise break. When you're feeling all those things come amongst you, I want you to say, now I'm thinking about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's already done for me. Even though the enemy may be hitting at you, I'm telling you, you can lift up your hand and say, God, you are worthy of all the praise, because he is the only one that can relieve the pressure off of you. And there's something about a praise. There's something about entering into worship. There's something about getting into the presence of God. All of a sudden, the pressures that you used to feel, they are pushed back. And I'm telling you, some of you need to get into the presence of God and say, God, I come to you. I come to you. I need you, God. Move in a special way. And I'm telling you, he will move and push back the pressure. But even as he's moving back that pressure, in the midst of your time of worship and praise, I want you to know the enemy's going to circle back around and he's going to look for a more opportune time. But I'm so glad that Jesus walks with us. He talks with us via his Holy Spirit, that no matter what situation we find ourselves in, Paul the Apostle, very explicit in this, he said, I have learned to be content. Yes, he was under pressure, Paul the Apostle, so much. He had a messenger of Satan that was on him in his flesh, and it kept pricking at him. It kept causing all kinds of problems, and he had prayed over and over. He said, God, would you just remove it? And in essence, God said, no, I'm not. And then Paul the Apostle said, I found out something when pressure was coming, when God doesn't move that pressure. He said, I found out when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Yes, he said, I started to realize that now I'm not depending on myself. The power of God, dwells in him, and it dwells in us. So in these times of pressure, let the pressure push us to God, not away from him. Peter's mistake was allowing the pressures to pull him away to the enemy side. But for us as the saints, the pressures that's coming are going to push us closer to God. Yes, that we can understand him more, that we can love him more, and know that he is faithful. As I said earlier in the sermon, to those who are not saved, and you find yourself in this dark place, pressures that are so heavy and weighing amongst you, and you just don't know which way to go. You're considering all kinds of terrible options right now. I want you to know that there's an out. Yeah, that I want to introduce you to the pressure reliever. His name is Jesus. Romans 10, very explicit. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God is raising from the dead, said you will be saved. Yes, you'll be saved. Ephesians 2 and 8 talks about, it says, it's by grace through faith and not of yourself. It's a gift of God. I know people are giving out gifts, but I'm telling you, this is a gift that keeps on giving. This is a gift that will change you and change others. Because once God's light begins to shine in you, oh, what a precious day. Now you're on mission and you can share Jesus with someone else. Man, if that's you today, right where you are, just ask him into your heart. Repent. Man, you may need to weep as Peter did when you realize, I am a sinner, but I found a Savior that can save to the utmost. To those who are saved, I want to encourage you to dig in deeper, to read more scripture, to pray more, to walk closer to the Lord. As these pressures are building around us, let's get into God's presence. And even when it feels so heavy, as I said before, I dare you to go into a praise break. I dare you to go into a worship time where you just fall head over heels in love with your Savior all over again. Because he is worthy of all the praise. And he's left us here for a purpose. You can put that in chat. Purpose. Yes, he's left us here for a purpose. And he's given us everything we need to make it to the finish line. I want to hear him say, well done, my good and faithful servants. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these scriptures today. It's challenged me, and I pray that it's challenged your saints, Lord. I pray that souls have been saved, delivered, and set free. Lord, help us as we go through this time of pressure where the enemy is trying to pull us away from you. But I thank you that pressure will push us closer to you. Lord, thank you. Thank you for being a gracious and kind God, that even when we make mistakes, Lord, that you've told us that we can come to you and we can ask for forgiveness. Oh, Lord, and you give us forgiveness. Thank you for your blood that washes away our sins. Help us, Lord, as we go into the next hours, the next days, the next weeks, the next months, the next years, to be on point for you. Oh Lord, use us for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Have you got all in your vessel? And your lamp trimmed and burning, or be ready when the bridegroom comes. Have you got all in your vessel? Your lamp trimmed and burning, Lord, be ready when the bridegroom comes. Amaze and grace, Lord, how sweet the sound, Lord, that save a wretch, Lord, like me.
But when he starts singing that, we're going to ask Brandon to come into the water. And that's the semblance of Christ going to the grave. I was looking at a documentary on last night, and it had some reenactments of what that may have looked like, Christ being taken to the grave. That is the picture. And then we're going to take him down. And when we take him down, that is the semblance of Christ being in that grave for 3 days. But the good news is he gets up with all power and all glory. And when we bring him up, it represents Christ getting up from that grave for us and also ascending to the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. What a wonderful God we serve. So at this time, Deacon Winstead, if you just take us back to old school, take me to the water.
Brandon, I'm just excited today that you confess Christ Jesus. And upon your confession of faith, I take great pleasure in now baptizing you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name.
I am just blessed to be with Brandon. He started off and asked a few questions. He's like, I got this, Dad. I got this. Don't you worry about it. And it gives me great privilege to give you the certificate of baptism, Brandon. He says, I know the plans I have for you are future and a hope, Jeremiah 29:11. Presented to Brandon Alexander Oliver Johnson. Wow, who was baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit at Ebenezer Baptist Church on December 22nd, 2021. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, Mark 16:16. So I want to want you to hold that, and I just want to say a special prayer for you, okay? Father, I just come to you right now, and I just touch Brandon right now, lay hands on him, and I thank you, God, that he's submitted to your ordinances, Lord. But most importantly, I thank you that you've saved them from the inside out. Now, Lord, I pray blessings upon them. Lord, the enemy's going to come quick, Father, and I know he'll try to do all he can do to trip this, your servant, up. But I pray your peace. I pray your strength, Lord. I pray that his family will step up, his dad, all those that are connected, mother, all those, Father, that are guardians over his life to encourage him in the faith, Lord. I thank you that he will be on this missionary journey and that he will share your love to classmates, to those that are around, that he will tell others about Jesus. So we just thank you right now for your mercies, Lord, and for adding another one to your family. We just give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, good job.